Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, if you have your Bible, turn it to Luke 14. Appreciate the good word that's been brought forth and the singing and everything. It's just been a real blessing, and I'm so thankful to the Lord for it. Our Lord Jesus Christ is teaching here, and He's speaking in verse number 25 of Luke chapter 14 about dedication to Him, about the counting the cost of discipleship of the Lord. And He comes down here and He speaks about building. He speaks about carrying the cross and how our love for the Lord should well exceed any love that we have for another. We should love Him first and foremost, carry our cross, be His disciple, counting the cost. He gives an example about a man building and whether he can undertake a project and finish it or not. And then He speaks here in chapter 14 and verse number 31 about this. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. Verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. And so, in these verses here, the Lord paints a picture, and the context is He's speaking about discipleship. But He's showing a principle here that we understand and know is the case, that as nations or as kings would go to engage one another in war, this picture that our Lord has painted is this one that's coming toward another with 20,000. And this king that is here seemingly in his place maybe, or maybe he's going out to battle, you know, but however that is, I kind of envision this king, this first king mentioned, is in his stronghold, okay? And he is there, and can he take the 10,000 that he has and meet the one coming with 20? Can he do that? He weighs that. He considers that. He looks at his options, if you will, and considers such. And you know what? When he sees and comes to the point, no, we can't get it done. It says here, the Lord says, or else, while the other is yet a great way off. So his enemy is coming, but he's a long way away. Not near, but a long way away. While the other is a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and says, we want peace. Because he knows that he can't win. He can't fight with what he has and be able to win or resist a siege from this one. What we want to consider this morning is the king and those coming with him. The king and those coming with him, the Lord of hosts. Let's pray. Father, your goodness towards us is great. We praise your name for every blessing. We thank you for the way that you've helped and blessed today. Lord, for the privilege to be able to meet together to worship you. And we pray, Father, you'd help us that we would worship you in spirit and in truth. Remove the cares of life and of our hearts and minds of the past week, the coming week. Remove all those things from us, Father. We might be able to concentrate on you and your word, the good word, message that you have for us. Father, help me and use me to speak. Lord, take me out of the way. And Lord, you speak to us. You feed us. And we need you. And we thank you, Father, that you've promised to meet with us. And we look to that promise that is sure and steadfast. And we thank you for the way you've blessed already. Help now with your word now. We might see wondrous things out of your word about you. Lord, we might rejoice in our great God and King, our Savior, our Lord. And Lord, for those who are here this morning and not saved, we pray, Father, that you would touch them. And Lord, you'd show them their great need and their great sin and their debt before you, Father, that they cannot pay. And Lord, you'd make Christ precious to the salvation of their souls, Father, that they would see that there is a King coming. The Lord of hosts is on his way. And Father, they will give an account. And we pray, Father, that you'd show them, Lord, that they can only give a good account through the precious blood and righteousness of your dear Son. Help now, we pray and bless. We ask these things in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. And amen. This picture that the Lord's painted about this King that's coming and the resisting force, the attacking force, and the weighing of one that one would do that would look to be under siege. When he sees that he can't be able to, he's not going to be able to to resist, sends an ambassador and desires conditions of peace. The Scripture speaks about a King and those that are coming with him, the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts is a term, a name of the Lord that it occurs in the Scripture quite a bit, but it's interesting how it is. This thought of an enemy approaching is indeed a fearful thing, isn't it? But how is our consideration of one that is approaching us, an enemy approaching, as we consider that and have that picture in our minds, when one is approaching us or coming our way, how is that affected in regard to how many they have with them? Okay? Have you ever thought about this? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. You know, if we have one thug that's assaulting us, that's one thing, but a gang is another, isn't it? Okay? You see one coming towards you from the standpoint of something that's negative, someone looking to do us harm. One is one thing, and that would strike a defense, but you know, if you had a dozen that would come up upon you in that parking garage or that parking lot, that would be a fearful thing, wouldn't it? Those coming with a person make a difference. How about in regard to authority? If an officer shows up at your doorstep, that's one thing, isn't it? But you have an officer that shows up two or three strong, or maybe 20. If you had 100 officers show up at your doorstep, you see what I'm saying? The effect that would have on us? One officer is one thing, because as we should, we respect that authority. But if they showed up at your house with a dozen that would be variously armed, it would make a difference towards us, wouldn't it? And what we would think and how we would consider. And I'm not saying that we're guilty or not guilty or guilty of anything. I'm just saying one approaching and those that are with them. There's a statement that is made by the accompaniment of a leader, isn't there? And so there's a reference in the Scripture to our Lord that's had my attention for some time, and I've wondered about it. I want you to turn over here to Isaiah chapter 1. And let's consider this morning quickly. We'll have to do so quickly because it turns out it's a great big subject. In Isaiah chapter 1, our Lord's called Isaiah to be a prophet in the days of these kings of Judah. And introduction of Isaiah is here, and we don't have time to spend on it. But we see this in verse number 9, and this is the first mention in the book of Isaiah of this phrase, this name, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah writes, "Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah." And you understand about Sodom and Gomorrah, they are no more. All the inhabitants are gone too. The place is gone, the inhabitants are gone. Utter, total destruction. But he says here, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant. So this Lord of hosts is at hand. And why is it that the Lord is being referred to this way? This is one of his names, the Lord of hosts. What is that? Hosts. Hosts. What is that? This reference is used in Jeremiah 71 times, the book of Jeremiah. It's used here in the book of Isaiah 53 and 53 verses, the Lord of hosts. In Zechariah 46 and Malachi 24 and Haggai 12. That's reference to the Lord of hosts, is mentioned in other books, but not as much as it is in these books that I just mentioned. I just gave you the order. Jeremiah 71 verses, Isaiah 53 verses. You know, that's quite a bit. That's like more than each chapter. the Lord of hosts, the Lord of hosts, Malachi 24. Malachi is a small book, as well as Haggai 12. So what's the significance of the Lord being referred to this way, Lord of hosts? Well, one thing that I believe that we see here is that these books, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Zechariah, Malachi, and Haggai, are written to a rebellious people. The Lord's looking, I believe, and inspiring that he be written about and he being named this way is that he wants to strike an image in the minds and the hearts of the people that he is coming with his crowd. He is coming. See, like I said, in authority, one police officer shows up at your house. That's one thing. But you get a call and say, 100 police officers are coming to your house. You would say, why? Why are 100 police officers coming to my house? Why is there such a great showing of authority that's coming to engage me? That's the point. A rebellious people needs a picture painted that God, the Lord, is coming, and he's got a great number with him. A great number. The Lord of hosts. I believe that's one thing that we can see in this. So this morning, let's consider about the ability of the Lord of hosts. In Joshua chapter 5, I just love this passage. It thrills me. And in our mind's eye, we try to see what's at hand here. Joshua is leading the children of Israel. He's appointed leader of the children of Israel, the 12 tribes, by the Lord after the passing on of Moses. And after his time, he's taking them, he's being used of the Lord to take them into the land of Canaan. And here is their very near Jericho, okay? That's going to be their first engagement on the west side of the Jordan. And Joshua's out there considering what's going on and everything. We come to this in Joshua chapter 5, verse number 13. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. Can you see that picture? Can you see that image? He's got his sword drawn, okay? He's got his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Listen. And he said, no, nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Now we see the Lord of hosts here. And he says, Joshua says, you for us or you for our adversaries? He says, no, I'm doing the business of the Lord here. I'm doing the business of the Lord here. The Lord of hosts. Wonder what kind of hosts were there that day. Listen to this. He says, and Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and well he should have, and did worship, and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? What do you want me to do? That's what every person that meets the Lord comes unto them and reveals himself unto them. That's what they say, Lord, what would you have me to do? He said, what will you have me to do? What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. This is a pre-incarnation appearance of Jesus Christ, the Lord of hosts. He's the captain of many things, the host of the Lord. In this, we see that the Lord of hosts always fights God Almighty's battles, doesn't he? Whose side are you on? I'm on the Lord's side. I'm doing the work of the Lord. Now, it just so happens that Israel was the benefactor of the work of the Lord. He fights in a way that we cannot see. Were the children of Israel successful in their battle and siege against Jericho? They sure were, following the hand of the Lord. I don't know how the Lord did it. I mean, we know how he did it. He did it by his power. But did the Lord take those hosts, those angels of his, and put them inside of Jericho, and they pushed those walls down flat? I tell you what, the walls came down flat by the power of God. There's a realm that we cannot see. But you know what? One day all will see the Lord of hosts. We mentioned there in Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 9, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant. You hear that? The Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant. We should have been as Sodom, and we should have been likened to Gomorrah. That passage is also mentioned in Romans chapter 9 in the New Testament. The very few of two passages in the New Testament where the Lord is mentioned in that way. And those passages here in Romans and in James, except the Lord of Sabaoth, means the same thing. It's not talking about the Sabbath. It's talking about the Lord of hosts. The host. What this word host is talking about is the armies, the great number of someone, some beings. We'll see who that is here in a bit. But we see here in this passage in Isaiah, and then quoted again in Romans chapter 9, he is able to destroy completely, and yet able to yet able to leave a remnant. And praise be to God. Who escaped out of Sodom and Gomorrah? Lot and his two daughters. His wife did too, but she looked back. She disobeyed the Lord. I mean, that's a very small count to the thousands, tens of thousands, no doubt, there were in Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain. But the Lord of hosts did that, and he's able to do so. We mentioned the different books that have these references to our Lord, and there's no way that we can address them all in one session, but we want to take a look and walk through the book of Isaiah and just see here about the ability of this Lord of hosts. In Isaiah chapter 8, we come here, and the Lord dealing with Isaiah and ministering to and preaching to the children of Israel through his ministry in that. We see here in Isaiah chapter 8, verse number 11, "For the Lord spake thus unto me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, Say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy," says Isaiah, don't agree with it, "neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid." Verse 13, "Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Set him apart above and beyond all other, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread." Verse 14, "And he shall be for a sanctuary." What's that? It's a place to abide in. "But for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem." The Lord of hosts, you know what? He's a protector of some and a stumbling to others. He needs to be our fear and our dread. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said it in his ministry, did he not? He said, "Don't fear the one that can kill the body, but fear the one that can kill the body, and after that take the soul and cast him to hell." He emphasizes that by saying, "I say unto you, fear him. Fear him." The Lord of hosts is a protector of some and a destroyer of others. Let us not fear what man can do unto us. In this same chapter, we come to verse number 18. Listen to this. "Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion." I tell you what, our Lord does marvelous things. The Lord of hosts does marvelous things with the few and the weak. With the few. Notice the references, children. With children. And these are things that are prophesied about what the Lord Jesus Christ did in the day of his ministry and with his disciples in his church. In Isaiah chapter 9, let's read here in verse number 1. This is a hallmark passage. This should be notable in the hearts and minds of the Lord's children. "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, that they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." This is speaking about when Jesus came and his ministry began. It's prophesied in this context. "Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian." Verse number 5, "For every battle and of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. Men fight battles and resist oppression and resist the ones that come. But tell you what, when the Lord comes, sinners will be set free. And when the Lord works, His nation will be set free. And it will be done as He has ordained for it to be done. He says, if you've seen a battle and men resisting men, you haven't seen anything yet of what our Lord will do. Listen to this. Here's the promise. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, verse 6, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I tell you what, in the midst of impossibility, when there is no hope for a Savior, the Lord of hosts can and has done so. He's brought a Savior, and great is His power, and great is His salvation towards us. In Isaiah chapter 14, we come to verse number 24. Again, we don't have time to spend to get in detail, but we just want to touch upon this subject. The Lord of hosts, in verse number 24 of Isaiah 14, has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so it shall come, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. Now, he's speaking specifically regarding the Assyrians here in this. Verse number 27, for the Lord of hosts had purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out. And who shall turn it back? I tell you what, in principle, that's the way it is with the Lord of hosts. He thinks a thing, and it will be done. It will be done. He purposes to do a thing. Who is there that can take the arm of the Lord and push it away? You know, if I would reach to do something or look to pursue a thing, maybe I would look to reach for a thing that would cause me harm, you'd be able to grab a hold of me and turn me. I tell you what, not our Lord. When He purposes to do a thing, He will not be turned. The Lord of hosts will not be turned. When He thinks a thing, it will be done. In chapter 29 of this book, chapter number 29, verse number 6, we read, thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake and with great noise, with storm and tempest and the flame of devouring fire. We have looked here recently about how it is, and the Scripture bears out that our Lord is a consuming fire. Here it tells that the Lord of hosts has the power over these. You know what? There's a I saved the article for a future time, and looking to preach on the radio regarding these wet dry issues that we've got in some local cities and that. And you pray that the Lord will help and bless about that. Do you have control over the thunder, the lightning? Our Lord does. Do you have control? When the earth quakes, all we do is we just yield to it and give in to it, don't we? I mean, we couldn't keep our plate on the table, much less our feet on the floor. Our Lord controls the earthquakes. The Lord of hosts is His name, and He controls this great noise from such, and He controls the storm and the tempest, and He is a consuming fire. In Isaiah chapter 31, we look here in verse number 4. The Lord here speaking about the Egyptians and how Israel would fear them or look to them for help, whatever the case would be, and how He will cause them to fall. Verse 4, for thus hath the Lord spoken unto me, and this is Isaiah receiving this, like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. And if that's something that can be understood, it's parabolic in its usage here. There would be lions that would go after sheep, and there would be a call amongst the shepherds for them to go out and hunt this animal and kill it so they wouldn't suffer loss. And what would it do? Well, some no doubt would go into hiding, go into run, but those that would be bold would stand against the shepherds and no doubt ultimately would be killed. You know what? The Lord is not going to be afraid of any man on this earth. Our Lord is not going to be afraid of any. So shall the Lord of hosts come down to fight for Mount Zion and for the hill thereof. The armies of the world coming against our Lord of hosts do not cause him to even consider retreat. I'm not talking about weighing in that passage that we saw there at the beginning, our text passage. I'm not talking about weighing things. The armies of the world gathered against our Lord won't even cause him to even give a consideration in his purpose. He's the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of hosts. He has those with him. In Isaiah chapter 37, we come on over here. Isaiah 37, verse number 16. Isaiah 37, verse number 16. Hezekiah here has this letter from the enemy and takes it and spreads it up before the Lord. What a wonderful thing. That's what we need to do. That's what we've done, and I hope you haven't forgot about that. Pray for that. That's what we've done with these things that are against our Lord regarding this gender confusion and this transgender acknowledgement. And they keep on pushing that stuff and pushing that stuff. I saw something here recently, and I forgot it. I don't need to forget it from the standpoint of letting you know, but I could forget it. But they've done some other thing regarding this abomination before the Lord and this gender confusion and role change and all that kind of thing. Here Hezekiah takes it and lays this before the Lord. We lay these things before the Lord that he would work. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, Isaiah 37:16, O Lord of hosts. He knows who he's praying to. Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. He's the Creator. The Lord of hosts is our Creator. And we need to go to him as our brother did. In the same chapter, in verse number 32, the Scripture says, For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of the Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts. We speak about that as the determination of the Lord. He won't be stopped. If he says that there's destruction, there's destruction. If he says that there's deliverance. And he brings it to pass. And there may be those that would fight against it. Brother Doug mentioned this morning about how it was that Jesus was accused of casting out demons by the power of Satan. You know, they were caught up indeed of their own self-conceit, weren't they? I mean, they thought they really had the answer there. But there's no resisting the Lord, and he brought it right back to them, didn't he? Everyone that resists the Lord will bring it right to them by his power and his ability. He will not be thwarted. His zeal, his purpose will do this, even the bringing forth of a remnant from his nation. In chapter 44 of this book, Isaiah chapter 44, we look here. This is the Lord just getting, and notice, I don't know, maybe you can kind of hear a rising to a crescendo here in this book. And that's the reason that I chose Isaiah in this and these things that are mentioned. Listen to this in Isaiah 44. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel. Now this isn't Hezekiah saying anything. This isn't Isaiah saying anything. This is the Lord speaking about himself. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. Do you hear that? Isn't that good? I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. That's the Lord of hosts. He stands alone, doesn't he? He is God and there is no other. He is the greatest of all. And he says here, thus saith the Lord God, the King of Israel. You know, being an Israelite, boy, that would be a relief, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be a rest in the Lord saying that he is their king? And thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I wonder about that. You know, Christ is in there in that. Jesus says there in the book of the Revelation, as he appears unto John on the Isle of Patmos, that he is Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. He's the beginning and the end. I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Tell you what, there's a king that's coming, and he's got a host with him. He's the king. He's the Lord of hosts. Chapter 47 of this book, we come over here in verse number 4. Isaiah testifying this, and he's just filled with the things that he's seen and been given by the Lord, the Spirit of God upon him. As for our Redeemer, praise be to God for the Redeemer, the buyer back of our souls, the payer of our sin debt. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name. You want to know who he is? He's the Lord of hosts, the Holy One of Israel. And we come here to Isaiah 54, Isaiah chapter 54, and we look here in verse number 5. Isaiah chapter 54, verse number 5. For thy Maker is thine husband, as he speaks to Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. The Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. We know, and in conclusion, we know and see here that Jesus is this Lord of hosts. And certainly there are references to Jehovah God being the Lord of hosts. It's one and the same. But Jesus is that manifestation of the Lord, and we understand that. We ask the question, well, who are the hosts? Who are those that come with Jesus? Who are those that are at hand with our great Lord and King? Well, take a look over here in Luke chapter 2. Here was a showing of it in the New Testament. In Luke chapter 2, verse number 13, get the right chapter here. Luke chapter 2, verse number 13. Let's back up to verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, watching over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shepherds. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And as it came to pass, as the angels were going away from them into heaven, there's the host. The Lord of hosts has a host of angels that are his. They are at his beck and call. I wonder if the angels don't even respond and work to the thought of the Lord. Ministering spirits, it tells us in Hebrews, the Lord uses them to minister unto us. And for you and me, they are without number. Remember how it was, we mentioned that. One would be something to deal with. But what about one that comes with many? and our Lord to his rebellious nation and these prophetic books and these ministering books, these prophets that are sent into his rebellious nation, he says, I am the Lord of hosts. I have many. I've got more with me than Egypt could ever think to have. I've got more with me than the Assyrians could ever think to have. I've got more with me than the Babylonians could ever think to have. And he's looking, I believe, to make that point that he is a leader of a great army in heaven indeed. In Matthew chapter 26, we come to this in consideration. Jesus, oh, our Lord Jesus, what you and I would do compared to what our Lord did. They're there in Gethsemane. The Lord knows he's got a betrayer in his midst. He knows he's been sold out for the likes of 30 pieces of silver, right? They come upon him. Judas betrays our Lord with a kiss. And in verse number 51 of Matthew 26, and behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. That's Peter, isn't it? Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Who are the hosts? The angels of God. 12 legions? 12 legions could be between 36,000, as we understand a legion, to 144,000 angels. And do we need to be reminded about the power and the ability of an angel? As Brother David numbered the children of Israel in his day, the kingdom, and he should not have done so, the Lord sent one angel over the course of 3 days, and one angel killed 70,000 men. And in 2 Kings chapter 19, this verse was brought to my attention in verse number 35, where the scripture says, and it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000 in one night, 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. All the Lord would need for Jerusalem would be one or two. Could clear a big swath around the Lord in a heartbeat, couldn't he? But the Lord said, Peter, put your sword up. It's not for now. It's not for this time. It's not for this case. I've got more than 12. My Father's got more than... He shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels, the Lord of hosts. The angels are part of his host. Well, we've seen here that he's the Lord of hosts. So there's a differentiation between the hosts, more than one. And we know that the angels are one host, one great, unnumberable group. But then how about the other? Well, let's take a look over here in Revelation 19. A time, a wonderful time to look forward to, and of course look forward to go be with our Lord. But I tell you, I wonder about this time and look forward to it. And it'll come in its time. We see here in Revelation 19, in verse number 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war, and his eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. You know what? The saints are coming back with our Lord. Here we're referred to as armies. The angels, the saints of the Lord, coming back with the Lord. Not only are the angels a host of our Lord, but his children are another host of our Lord. He's the Lord of hosts. Again, a number that you and I could not even come close to to name. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Again, in conclusion, and I know it's a long conclusion, but our Lord is coming. He's coming. And as we mentioned and saw there in our text passage there in Luke chapter 14, he is coming with a great host. See, the thing is with the Lord is he doesn't need the hosts, but he's got them. that's the marvelous, wonderful thing about our Lord. There's the power, the exhibition of the Lord's power. He's got hosts, but he doesn't even need them. We sure need him, though, don't we? We sure need him. He's coming. And if you're here and you're not saved, you need to seek conditions of peace. Because you can't stand. Who will be able to stand before the Lord? No one in and of themselves can stand before the Lord. He is coming and you need to seek conditions of peace. Understand, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 15, we as the children of God are admonished to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You hear that? The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is that which brings peace. We who are saved, we know that, don't we? We have peace with God. And we are sent with that message to go and tell the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ that sinners might be saved, that the Lord would take His word, make it effectual, save their souls, and that they would have peace with God. It is the gospel of peace. You need to make conditions, you need to seek conditions of peace, and it's only found through Jesus in His gospel. In Colossians chapter 1, verse number 20, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, peace is made by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, washing sinners' sins away. Having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. He's the Lord of hosts. And you need peace with Him. I want you to turn over here to Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, we read this. A wonderful passage here. In verse number 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off were made nigh by the blood of Christ, brought near by that blood. Listen, for He is our peace. You know what? You can only have peace through repenting of your sins before this Lord of hosts and receiving Him as Savior, repenting of your sins and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. For He is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, that enmity because of sin, and having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances that we could not keep, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. He's the judge and He's the Savior. Oh, the Lord of hosts is coming. The King is coming, and those are coming with Him. That he might reconcile, verse number 16, unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. You know what? Even a Gentile can be saved. Even a Gentile can have peace with the Lord of hosts. You know what? Even a Jew can have peace with the Lord of hosts by repentance of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our brother, preaching in Acts chapter 10, verse number 36, declares there the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. Listen, in parentheses, He is Lord of all. Isn't that great? The Lord of hosts, the Lord of Sabaoth, the King, and those coming with Him. Are you ready for Him to come?